tired as fuck.
Yeah, I'm fucking exhausted.
I feel like I'm in the twilight. It feels like... it feels like the Twilight Zone. We're recording this episode at 9:50 at night, and we just got done watching the movie.
It's only 9:50, and I want to go to fucking sleep, bro.
I feel like we did this at like 2 in the morning.
Well, I think part of the reason why you feel that way is because that movie looks real relaxing.
It's like comatose, yeah. Well,
it feels like you're in a Halloween store. That's really what it feels like, bro. It's just like, all orange city. And brown and fall.
Makes you want to be in like, well, we are in September now, but makes you just want to stay and die in September. It's so autumn, so seasonal.
You like autumn?
Yeah, it's best season.
So did you like the color scheme of this movie?
Yeah, I mean, it was like autumn on crack. It was just like excessive almost to a point.
That's one of the reasons why I like this movie so much is because of the color scheme. And all of his movies are like that. They have like a color scheme to them. And this one with the oranges and browns, I think it's just really pleasing to look at. And
you like it more than It Chapter 2?
Oh, fuck yeah, I like this movie more than Chapter 2. But I mean, that doesn't mean that Chapter 2 is a bad movie. This movie is in like my top 5 movies.
Yeah, we just saw, before we really get into Fantastic Mr. Fox, I really wanted to say that we just saw It Chapter 2. And let me tell you, wow. Hayden was a fan.
I liked it.
I don't know. It just didn't. You know, the first one, I was really skeptical.
Yeah.
And I went into it. Joe just texted me. Joe, if you're listening to this, I love you. Text him back later. But I was really skeptical going into that first movie. And then I was really surprised, and I really liked it. And it was funny, it was scary, and the kids were great. And then this movie, it was like the opposite. Like, I was really excited to go with everybody, and it was just, it shit the bed.
Well, like I said before going in, we saw, read those, the articles. I mean, what they say is exactly what the issues were with it. I don't know if we should talk about it, because I don't want to spoil it, but.
Warning. It. Chapter 2 spoilers. Skip to 6:50 to not hear.
I thought that the movie was good in terms of creatures and stuff. It had a lot of good monsters in it. Right. And one of the things people complained about was they were like, oh, the monsters are CGI and they look like shit. But I feel like it's Pennywise. It's not supposed to look like super serious or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of why he's so creepy, is because he's like, he's almost like a cartoon character. You know, like, pull right. a fucking sword out of his ass or some dumb shit, like,
yeah,
Fortnite dances and
little Minecraft, PUBG. I mean, so did you think Pennywise was scary?
I don't think Pennywise was. What do you mean? Like
was he scary at all to you in this movie, in Chapter 2?
No, because when you go see this movie, I mean, you already know that they can beat him.
Right.
It makes him so much, because when you start it, like the, like when you're first watching the first movie, mm-hmm. he almost feels untouchable. Like, you're like, what the fuck are they even gonna do?
Especially because they're kids too.
Yeah, it's like, what are these kids gonna do against this goddamn demon clown from space? Like, how are they gonna fight that? So like, there's a scare in that because it's like, oh shit, they're fucked. But when this one, you're like, well, if they can kill the fucking clown as little kids,
right?
They can definitely kill him as adults.
So there's less suspense.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like it was almost like an action movie. I'm real with you.
This one,
it did not feel like a horror movie to me.
I get you mean. I didn't like the choice of them all splitting up. I mean, it really paid attention to, like, what the book was trying to do, but I think you can't adapt a Stephen King cocaine-fueled flying cosmic turtle book into a movie without making some sacrifices, you know? I don't know. It just didn't do what I wanted it to do, which was just scare the living shit out of me. And instead, it was a 2-hour, 45-minute kind of a clusterfuck. It just kind of was unraveling the more and more. And okay, this is what I want to talk to you about. The weirdest part about It Chapter 2, and this can be the last thing we say, is that part where Eddie is down there, the hypochondriac is down there, and he's fighting the leper from the first movie, and it throws up on him, and it sings that song.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If you've seen the movie, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, that was a weird little scene.
Because they were trying to be funny, and literally, this is why I wanted to bring it up.
It was out of place as fuck. Because all the other characters, when the scary thing happened, there wasn't anything funny about it. Like, it was scary, and that was what it was supposed to be. And then they get to him.
That was so stupid.
And his scary thing happens, but then it turns into something funny.
And it was for 2 seconds. I remember what was so great about that was, because I looked at you later, but me and Hunter were sitting next to each other and just looked at each other. And audibly in the theater, Hunter just goes, "What the fuck?" And puts his hands up. And I was just cracking up laughing at that. Because nobody in our theater laughed. And it was like opening night. Everybody was, you know, excited, and like it was crowded in there.
Yeah, I mean,
and no, it was like you could hear footsteps. Yeah,
yeah. The weird scene for me was the one where, I forget what his name is. The bully from the first movie, he gets out of jail or whatever. Yeah, Henry Bowers or whatever, and he gets in the car with his friend's dead zombie body, and it like looks over at the screen and takes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was almost like I was watching fucking Ghostbusters for like 3 seconds,
it
bro.
Made no
sense. I was like, what the fuck was that? It was like a subplot. Maybe it's in the book. I haven't read the book. Have you read the book?
No, I don't want to have.
So, I mean, maybe Henry Bowers' zombie friend comes and picks him up like Evil Knievel. And
I know that part.
Peels out, but.
End of It. Spoilers.
Anyways, we are here today to talk about Fantastic Mr. Fox, directed in 2009 by Mr. Wes Anderson. One of Hayden's favorite movies, the first time I've ever seen it. Starring George Clooney, Meryl Streep, Jason Schwartzman, the usual bunch that Wes Anderson employs. Hayden, would you like to begin?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is one of my best movies, or favorite movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, the color scheme. I just like the way the characters talk, too. They talk in such a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like replacing it, all the swear words with, like, what the cuss. And they have, like, all these little, like, jokes that you aren't supposed to understand because you're a human or whatever. And it's just pretty, it's entertaining. I think every scene looks beautiful as fuck. Like, I would frame any scene from this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just picturesque, I guess, is the way to say it. I like the, also just stop motion in general. It looks so unique, and you can't get that with anything else. In a way, I was thinking about when we were watching it, it's almost like the most simple form of making a movie, but then at the same time, it's the most complicated form. Because it takes fucking forever.
Oh, I can
And there's
imagine.
So much that goes into it, like making one object move, having all the other objects on the screen also move with it. So, like, it's complicated as fuck, but really all it is like a series of pictures.
The logistics have got to be insane.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't imagine.
This probably took, I don't know, what you think, like 2 years to make?
I haven't heard anything crazy about the production schedule, so it's probably, I mean, features usually take like a year to 2 years. That's whenever you start pre-production and you're on like an actual track to make it. But yeah, I mean, I bet it was not intense, but intense how they had to make it. It's frame by frame, they're moving these little figurines, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine how you would make a movie like that. Something about Wes Anderson's movies that I noticed with this one is that they're just so, they feel so long. Like, this movie was an hour 27 minutes, and it felt like 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours 20 minutes.
Yeah, but keep in mind you're also like tired as fuck tonight.
No, but I mean that's another thing, and that's a very valid point. But also,
but was it putting you to sleep? Tranquil.
No, but every movie I've seen of his does that to me. And I've been in like obviously different moods watching every one of his movies. The Royal Tenenbaums, I just turned off. Isle of Dogs, I had the exact same feeling. Not because they're similar movies, because they're claymated, but like they're such different movies. Fantastic Mr. Fox and Isle of Dogs. And I had the exact same feeling coming out of them, which I was just kind of underwhelmed. But it feels weird to say that even because I know they're good movies. Like, you know when you watch a movie and you know that it's good, but you just can't bring yourself to like it?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like watching this. Like, I did like it, though. So it just kind of... I'm trying to, like, dissect my thoughts of it.
So, like, do you like it more than you liked Isle of the Dogs, or...
Like, yeah. Oh,
the one thing that this movie does is it does... Because what usually happens when people do stop motion is it... like, it just accidentally becomes creepy looking.
Right.
You can't... This movie isn't creepy looking.
You're a big fan of stop motion, too, right?
Like, yeah, you love, I mean, Coraline, a lot of, like, stop motion ends up creepy on accident because they're little figurines, and yeah, it takes a lot of work to, like, add, like, humanity to such a little, I mean, fake figure.
Right.
Like, make these things come to life and, you know, give them emotions. Even, like, with, like, how they make the foxes look older and younger. Like, they're like, these are supposed to be the little kid foxes.
Right.
And these are the older foxes. Like, the work that takes in to make a figurine that you look at and you know, oh, that's a young fox. Oh, that's an old fox. The detail,
their faces.
Like, just little things like that. Like, I can't even imagine how you do that.
It's so... And this movie does all of it. Yeah. And it elicits emotion very well, for sure. And I think a lot of that is also in the actors. And, you know, I could listen to... A big thing about this movie that I want to talk about with you is, like, George Clooney, dude. I could, anything George Clooney is in, I could watch. Like, even if I don't like it, he's the best thing in every movie. Like, George Clooney is the shit in the Ocean's movies, in Syriana, in every Coen Brothers movies. I'm not even that big of a Coen Brothers fan. In every Coen Brothers movie, in every Soderbergh movie, and this, like, which is just, it was also really weird. Like, George Clooney is in a Wes Anderson movie. Like, if you think about that, isn't that kind
of... As a fox.
As a fox. It doesn't...
You know, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And Meryl Streep is his wife.
Yeah. This one has a lot of big-name actors in it.
Yeah.
Well,
all of his...
Both of his stop motions do.
Right. He's... What I like about him, and what I like about a lot of directors that I'm fans of, is that they usually work with a steady troupe of actors. Like, they're working with the same actors over and over, which I find really cool because they're usually making all these movies that are really, really different, but all these actors are the exact same. But they're all playing really different roles, and they're all exceeding in it. Like, Paul Thomas Anderson does that. Aronofsky doesn't really do that. Scorsese does that. Wes Anderson does that. Even Tarantino does that. There's so many really good directors that work with just the same staple of actors because you're building that rapport. And it's really easy to go into making movies is so freaking hard. And when you can go into a movie knowing you got somebody that has your back and you know how to work with them really easy and you have your shorthand with them, it makes it all the better. But it's just really cool. I mean, with like Wes Anderson, you know, he started with Owen Wilson, and Owen Wilson's in like every single movie of his, I think.
Yep, he's in this one. He's the badger.
He's the, you know, he's a coach.
Weezer's weasel. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but the animal. He's a badger.
He's a, yeah.
I think he's a badger.
Right. It was like white furry or something like that.
Yeah, it was either badger, like a weasel or something.
Right.
It's a lesser fur bearer.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's... I don't know where I'd rank it. The thing with Wes Anderson, another thing about him, is that in terms of like... Because obviously I have a film school background, and I'm at my last semester at film school, and I went to and am at San Francisco State. And it's something across all film schools, whether it's San Francisco State or NYU or UCLA, it's like everybody talks about this guy. It's Wes Anderson, dude, and it's Quentin Tarantino. And you hear about those two all the time, no matter where you go. Every single guy that's at film school loves Wes Anderson.
I think that the reason for that is because they're like aesthetically super unique. And that's why people like like, that's a lot of the reason why people like movies is just... Maybe not even the fucking story, because I can tell you about, like, the story in this movie, it's good, but it's not, like...
It's Roald Dahl.
Like, so. Who gives a shit? Like, no one gives a fuck about what's happening in the movie, but it's still a good movie because, like, it's aesthetically pleasing. The way they talk is pleasing.
Right.
The things they say, like I said, the colors, the scenery.
So are you a guy, do you just, like, style? Like, not style over story, per se, but, like, are you a big fan of directors with very... specific styles?
I think that I would rather... I mean, sometimes you like you want to watch a movie with a good story, but I think if you're going to lack one, lack the story before the aesthetic, because if it's aesthetically pleasing, people still like it. Like, there's a lot of shitty, like,
really,
I mean, like, think about it, like, there's a lot of like shitty, like, cult classic movies that people just like because of the way it looks.
That's valid. That's true.
And I think that that's something that's gonna stay,
right?
I mean, that's why people like those what was it, who's the dude from Radiohead? He made like a little, like,
Tom York, Johnny Greenwood.
Yeah, like, no one knows what the fuck's going on in that shit. And people are like, I like the way this looks.
Anima.
Yeah, Anima, yeah, yes. Anima.
Paul Thomas Anderson directed that. Yeah, that's my, those are my boys. I, yeah, no, I, my relationship with style is like, it's very detailed and probably super pretentious. You guys are all probably going to think it's super pretentious. I like style that you can't tell. That, like, all my favorite directors have styles for sure, but every single movie is a different style. You know what I mean? Like, I hate directors that, like, I don't hate directors, but I'm just not a fan of movies. They're all different, but they all have the exact same style. I think that's why Wes Anderson to me isn't that pleasing, because I know exactly what I'm going to get into. But directors that can pull off different styles with every single movie, I mean, the king of that is Kubrick. Like, every single movie was completely different, but it was all so specifically, like, you could watch Clockwork Orange and you know exactly what it is. You know, you could see a frame of it, or The Shining, or Barry Lyndon, or the Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And they all are way, like, wicked different, but they all have that. He also has that symmetry and those leading line symmetries and just how they act and stuff. So I like stuff like that. I think the style needs to come to the story. The story doesn't really come to the style. But I think you bring up a really interesting point, is that I think as we get more and more, as we progress along with like photo and video, and as they just blow up and we're inundated with photos and videos all day, every day, it's more about aesthetics than it is about stories. You know, because we see images all the time on smartphones.
I mean, that's what drags people into movies to begin with, is they like a trailer. Because trailer isn't going to tell you the fucking story. So if you're like, I like the way that looks, I'm going to go see it.
Yes.
And that this movie does a good job of doing that. It's not, the story's not overly complicated. I'm pretty sure it's actually based off a kid's book.
It is, yeah, Roald Dahl.
Which I've never read. Yeah. I don't know, like, if it's similar or not. I probably should read it.
Guy that made, is that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Roald Dahl, let me look that up. I think Roald Dahl wrote Willy Wonka.
The book for this is written by the same guy who wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Somebody's probably listening
to this. Or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, somebody's probably listening to this right now. I was like, yeah, of course.
The original one or the one with Johnny Depp?
No,
or
Willy,
the book.
The book was written.
He wrote both the books.
Yes, Roald Dahl, I believe, wrote the, he did Charlie and Chocolate Factory by Roald
Dahl. That's cool. Yep. I didn't know that.
Yeah, really, really good kids book writer. That was, I've never read the book though, which is funny. Man, that movie's good too. Willy Wonka, original one.
The original one. I mean, I think even the one with Johnny Depp is okay.
That style right
there.
But
Johnny Depp's my boy. So
good old Johnny Depp. Back to, Wes Anderson, his title sequences are always badass. Like, the openings to his movies are always fun to watch.
Yeah, and the soundtracks.
Yeah.
That and the sound. This movie has a good soundtrack. You never even hear it. It's just a little tiny in the background. It's one of those movies that you aren't going to know that the soundtrack's good unless you, for whatever reason, decide to fucking listen to it on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, I'm going to listen to the soundtrack one day, you're not going to look it up unless you do.
And I like that. I like music doesn't call attention to itself, but it's instrumental to the piece. You know? I think that's great. It's always been my favorite. Oh, man. That movie just, it does kind of tranquilize you, dude.
This movie?
Yeah, I am tired.
It makes you tired. No, it's one of those movies you can put on in the background and listen to. There's not, like, any big, like, noise spikes that would,
right,
unsettle you if you're like trying to sleep or something.
Have you done that before?
No, I haven't tried to do that with this one, but it probably wouldn't be a bad idea. I am big on like sleeping with movies on in the background though.
You know, it's really funny, for being a film major and being such a big film guy, I sleep so well in movies.
You put movies on in the background too?
I don't ever put them on the background. It's never on purpose, but I can always fall asleep in a movie. It does not matter what movie it is. Besides, like, a certain key few. Like, Sidney Lumet movies, I cannot fall asleep in. Or, like, Whiplash with Miles Teller. I think that movie's so great. I'm always, like, doesn't matter what time of day it is. You know? But almost every other movie, I'm just, like, out.
But this one especially so?
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of, like, Moonrise Kingdom and Grand Budapest Hotel, I think every one of his movies, I'm just kind of been like, meh.
Makes you go meh.
Yeah, I'm not really.
There's gonna be a fucking fist fight in this house right now.
Over this good old cider. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just not. I wish there was more to say, and it's so interesting to me because I like everybody that's involved with this movie. I think Wes Anderson is so talented. Like
that, but that was a good point you just made. There isn't much you can say about this movie. Like, there isn't that, because really all it is it looks pretty.
Yeah.
There isn't much you can say. There's not, like, we can't really talk about the fucking story because it's based on a kid's book. Like, it's not supposed to be overcomplicated.
Right.
So, I mean.
It's very simple and direct.
So, I guess I get where you're coming from with it. Like I said, yeah, this movie does not have a very deep story or anything. So
no, it is fun though, and I like how quirky it is.
Very quirky.
Even though they're not like acting in traditional sense, they're just voice acting. All these actors, you feel like we're in the room, kind of bouncing off each other, in a way.
Would you recommend it though?
To a certain type of film goer, that's the thing about me with movies. Like, whenever I recommend stuff, is I'm not. And I'm so against people that think they're, like, above. Like, oh, you have to watch this. Like, you know, like, the serious stuff. Like, these old, like, Criterion movies. Like, I just like to meet people wherever. Like, whatever you like is whatever you like. It doesn't matter. Like, one person's taste in movies, just because they like, really serious movies, isn't better than the other person's taste.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. You all should fucking watch this movie. And if you don't, you're doing yourself a great dishonor.
I think a lot of people have seen. I think I'm like really late to the game. I mean, obviously.
I don't know if this movie was that popular. See, I remember. That's the thing about this movie. I don't remember it coming out.
I remember it coming out very vividly.
I saw it the first time I was in Spanish class, and we watched it in Spanish, but with English. But with English subtitles.
Oh, no way.
And I saw it, and it, like, I remember, like, I couldn't fucking read the subtitles fast enough to fucking read. I remember, like, being like, damn, I like the way that looks.
Yeah.
Like, in eighth grade, I looked at that and was like,
Did you like how eighth grade looked, too?
Like, how this looked when I was in eighth grade?
Oh, when you were in eighth grade.
Yeah, when I was in eighth grade and I saw this movie, I even liked how this looked. And now, I still like how this looks.
Well, eighth grade, you wouldn't have been too far removed from when it came out, because if it came out in 09, that would have been, like, 2012, 2011 in eighth grade. So that was.
It was either in eighth grade or something sooner. I was definitely in middle school.
Yeah. I can really remember when this came out. Because I was at. Before it was the B&B, Dickinson East Glen off 291 Lee Summit. I remember I was walking to the lobby, and especially like. I don't really know because I wasn't around the 80s or the 90s really, but like the 2000s. You don't really get so much in the 2010s, but in movie theaters, you'd always have, like, cutouts and stuff, like, promo pieces, like, in the movie lobby and stuff.
Yeah, like, sitting in the lobby.
Yeah, and that was way more popular when we were kids in, like, 2000s.
I think they still do that.
They still, but, I mean, I remember every single weekend, like, every weekend release. Well, it didn't matter if it was a big release or not. There would be some type of promo like that. And I remember there was a big Fantastic Mr. Fox one.
I remember seeing it. It was a cutout. Yeah. I mean, I just remember, like, the reds and the oranges and the yellows in it. I think I do remember that.
The thing,
AMC or something.
Another one thing that I want to bring up about Wes Anderson is that, like, Grand Budapest Hotel is one of those first movies that, like, really, like, when I was really starting to get into film, when I was always really into it, but when I was starting to get really serious into it, when that was around the time when we were becoming friends. And a big milestone of that for me that I always look at, like, as a starting point for when I was serious, was the 2014 Oscars. And that was when Grand Budapest Hotel was in the running. And I remember that vividly because I love that movie. I remember that was a movie you and me talked about because that had come out either like a year before or 6 months before we started becoming like close.
Yeah.
And it was just, that movie's great. I love that movie.
You like that movie more than this movie?
I love that movie because I think there's a lot of things in that movie. It came, oh shit, knocked over my pop filter. There's a lot of things in Grand Budapest that, from an aesthetic standpoint, really stick with me to today that I try to emulate my own work. Like how they mixed up aspect ratios.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing for me. I mean, I love that. And I love that choice. And I think there's a lot more interesting visual choices he was taking in Grand Budapest than he was in like other movies, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, wasn't that one kind of like a pinkish and bluish movie?
Yeah. 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 And it moved through three time zones. Or three time zones. Three different like eras of time. Like,
yeah. And stuff. That, man. That's all cool, of his man. Movies look so good. Yeah, I guess we should talk about this. We haven't talked about this once yet.
Yeah, the cider?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you want to go talk about it? Because this is your idea for the cider.
Or yours? I mean, we just picked the one that looked the most like
right.
a Fantastic Mr. Fox cider.
Well, I because mean, Hayden had already obviously seen the movie, like we stated. He said, we're trying to match a drink to each movie. And he said we need to do a cider. So, we walked into a Hy-Vee in Columbia here, and we got this Northern Neighbor Farmhouse Cider from how do you say that? Saskatchewan? Saskatchewan?
Wait, where? Saskatchewan?
Yeah, Saskatchewan.
I think that's in like, I don't want to guess.
It's in Michigan, I believe.
All right.
We'll say Michigan.
I was going to say like, yeah, Michigan. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's Michigan.
Yeah.
It says it on the label. But.
This is organic.
Ooh, a little.
Well, what? Non-GMO. So wait, where does yours say Saskatchewan on it?
It's right above that barcode. I don't know if you see it, but that's good. I mean, it's sweet, man. My mouth is dried out.
It is very sweet. I like the way it looks, though. I mean, that's like, I think I'm gonna keep this bottle. These bottles. These bottles are dope. But mine's pear. What was yours?
Mine is just apple. Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's...
It's good.
It's sweet. It's good. It is super sweet, though.
Like some...
For a cider.
Juicy fruit.
I guess it's not too sweet for a cider, but for like what I generally like in a cider.
It went just, well with a movie too, because it's all about like
they're
stealing
with,
ciders.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about what the movie's about.
That's true. I mean, I kind of we should probably do a little brief synopsis about how...
Yeah, I mean, we just keep talking about how the story's like...
It's funny how serious that movie is, but it's so glazed over with like whimsy and like it's so charming that you don't realize like, oh, it's literally about a fox trying to steal stuff from major farmers and then he gets caught and shot at and his entire home gets obliterated.
Yeah, which I want you to think about it. If there was a fox breaking into your farm, eating your chickens and stealing your ciders, you probably should fucking shoot it, right?
Right.
And so, like, you caught this thing, you're like, don't even realize that this dude's literally just fucking with the people that you should be on their side. I mean, you'd think you'd be on the side of the people.
Yeah.
I mean, they catch an entire town on fire.
They do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in this movie where it's like, oh, it's just so cute and aesthetically pleasing that you don't realize, oh, that's actually serious criminal offenses.
Yeah, these foxes come out and, like, have a fucking declare war on the United States, bro.
I know. They're like throwing
fucking
coup.
Flaming fireballs at houses and shit.
That's another thing. I'm going to be honest. I fell asleep for like 5 minutes during this movie. I also opened the day at work and I was just so, I'm so wasted tired. But I fell asleep and I woke up and it was not even 5 minutes later. And I was so confused as to what was happening.
Wait, you fell asleep during the movie?
Yeah, for like 5 minutes. Oh.
Well, I think we should do a rundown what the story is. So basically, the fox, Fantastic Mr. Fox, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Fox. He used to be a professional thief because in our world,
sense.
You know, foxes steal shit. I mean, that's what they're known for, I guess, as animals. So, I mean, this dude, he steals chickens and stuff. And then one time, him and his wife get caught in a fucking Cage, and she's like, yeah, if we survive this, you have to find a different line of work. So then it goes forward like 3 years or whatever, and he is working at a newspaper place, and basically he's having a midlife crisis, and he decides to go, you know, go steal again, and then he gets caught again, and the farmer's like, this time we're like done with his shit.
Right.
Try to fucking kill him, and then, I mean, it's basically just them like outsmarting the humans.
Right.
And then they like, whatever, they live in the sewers, and they come up and they're in a grocery store. Like, that probably sounds weird as fuck.
It's very weird, but it's so glossy, and it's so, again, it's so whimsical, and it's so charming that it's just, yeah, I'm just not too impressed. And what's funny about it is that I was going into it really excited to see this. Like, I genuinely was like...
Did I hype it up too much for you?
No, not at all. Like, if anything, you didn't hype it up enough. I was reading the cast list on Letterboxd before, and I was like, oh, yeah, this looks so dope. And I wasn't even tired before this movie. This movie just kind of made me a little sleepy, honestly, which is surprising because I love everybody that acts in this.
What was it getting on Letterboxd as far as, like, ratings go?
Oh, I'm sure. I'll look it up, but this is such a Letterboxd movie, bro. Yeah, the average rating is 4.1.
Yeah.
Everybody freaks out.
Yeah, it's a good movie. 57,000 likes. I don't think it's super popular, though. I think there's a lot of people that haven't seen it.
Dude, Willem Dafoe is the rat.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah. Let's see who else is in this.
He has a lot of, like, A-list celebrities.
Oh, yeah. He's really close to the Coppolas, too, so a lot of them are in his stuff.
And a lot of these people, this is the only, like, voice acting they do.
Yeah.
Is these Wes Anderson movies, all the other ones.
You a George Clooney guy?
I don't dislike George Clooney, but, like, I'm not, like, a fan or anything.
Right. I think the older I get, the more I just...
I wouldn't cast anyone different, though. He does good enough that, like, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he has the voice for it. I feel like he's our generation's, our parents' generation's Cary Grant, you know. Whoever our Cary Grant will be, who knows, but...
You gonna tell me who Cary Grant is?
Cary Grant's just the George Clooney of the 40s. If you look him up over on your computer, you'll see a picture of him and know exactly who he is. He's most known for North by Northwest. He's in a lot of Hitchcock movies. Really, really big in the 30s, 40s. I think his breakout was Arsenic and Old Lace, but I know that was one of his earlier roles. And guy, he's just like a knockout, good-looking leading man. He actually, random fact, he was the guy that brought Coke and LSD to Hollywood. He was dropping acid all the time, like the 50s.
I got Harry Grant, professional race car driver.
No, Carrie.
And then Carrie.
C-A-R-Y.
Not Harry. Yeah. Right, we got this.
Harry Grant's pretty good old golden age actor's name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that dude. Doesn't he do... what? He's in something else, bro.
Oh, he's in a lot of stuff.
No, man. Like... What?
Dude, we gotta review North By. That's on my list. We gotta watch North By because I know you haven't seen it, and that movie kicks ass. It's so good.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's one of my... I think there's very few movies... I'll look at my Letterboxd, actually. Some of the movies I've listed 5 stars. There's very few movies that I list 5 stars. So to me, it's like a... You know, it's like a perfect movie.
Should we close this one up?
Yeah, let me see my... So you want me to read off some of my 5-star movies?
Yeah, go ahead.
These are like movies... Because I know North By is on here. That's why I brought it up, but...
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is a 5-star movie for me before you do that.
Really?
Yeah, this is like one of my 5-star movies. I mean, I'm pretty generous with giving movies 5 stars, though. I wouldn't say that I'm like over-generous, but I do give a lot of like 5-star movies.
Okay, so what's a movie? It can be literally, it doesn't matter. Just what's a movie that I say perfect movie, and what's the first movie that pops to your head?
When you say perfect movie?
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't know, you put me on the fucking spot, bro.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. The only reason I know mine is because I just looked at them. Raiders of the Lost Ark is definitely one.
I honestly like Goonies is a perfect movie for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goonies, that's up there.
Would this be a perfect movie to you? It's a couple of notches.
Yeah, I think it's perfect.
Really?
For what it needs to be. Like, this is what it should be, I think. It doesn't need to be, like, anything, like, super over the top or, like, special, because it's just nice to look at.
It's simple, and I mean,
it,
sweet.
This does exactly what it should do.
Yeah.
A movie that looks like this shouldn't be overcomplicating itself with, a super in-depth story or anything. Right. That takes away from everything else.
So, in conclusion, out of 5 stars, you would
rate... 5 stars for me.
5 stars for you. I would put 2.5.
2.5?
Yeah.
Oh my fucking God, Blake.
That's like a notch below just... That's like
2.5. 2.5?
Yeah, man.
Bro, what is in your 2.5 range? What would you compare this movie to in terms of like...
It just didn't... It's not like most other 2.5 movies, where most 2.5 movies I'm just like... No, you know what it is. Most 2.5 movies, whenever I give
at least a 3.
Okay, whenever I give a movie 2 or 2.5, it's that I recognize it's a good movie, but it just didn't do it for me. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the most recent example of that.
You think that's a 2.5 too?
American Graffiti is also an example of that. No, Once Upon a Time is a 2. I didn't like Once Upon a Time, but I was like, okay, well, you can't knock it because you know, like, it's objectively there's good things, but it's also just, we can get into that movie another time. But yeah, for The Fox, it's 2.5 and maybe a 3 if I'm really happy.
It's 5. So that's a fucking god. I thought this one was going to score high on her.
There's a nice old
T at 75%. 7.5. Damn.
75%.
Well, I tried to pull through for you, Wes Anderson. I guess this man can't be convinced. He doesn't have... I mean, he's wearing glasses right now, so he can't see really fucking good. Harry Potter
glasses. Ugh, man. Well, on that note, I think we're good to sign it off here.
Yep. What are we doing next week?
I don't know what we're doing next week. Next week will be a surprise.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise. I don't know yet.
We're going to see. And we'll come up with something. And we'll surprise you with it. I'm Blake Miller.
And I'm Hayden. Yep, see you guys.
He's Hayden Subert. All right, we'll see you guys later.